The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrated health expert. Here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com. Peaksofhealth.com.
Hope everyone's having a fantastic weekend. Happy Sunday to everyone. Aaron Jacobson here with Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. If you want to reach Dr. Tracy, make sure to give her a call, 727-826-0838. Dr. Tracy will tell you all about hormone therapy, thyroid, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue. We're going to learn about it all with Dr. Tracy. As you've known from the previous episodes, Dr. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a good week?
We had a really good week. Busy week. It's crazy.
It's, you know, we're finally getting back into the thick of things. The New Year's done. Back to reality.
Back to normal routines, normal diet, normal exercise.
Yes, exactly. But it was a fun holiday. It's over, though. And if you want to learn more about Dr. Tracy, you could definitely visit them at facebook.com/peaksofhealth. Go to their website, peaksofhealth.com. And later in the show, we're going to be talking with a compounding pharmacist, Sahar Swadan. A lot of interesting stuff there. We're going to learn all about compounding. But first, before we get to that, we want to talk about it's the winter season. And even though we live in Florida, we don't get many seasons, it's still going to get cold eventually. I keep telling people, wait for it, wait for it. It's going to get cold. We saw it a little bit. We got the winter gear out at the beginning of January. So we started getting a little cold. Hopefully it's going to get colder. What do you do to stay healthy through the winter? I know it's not like up north where you have seasons and everything's changing, but when it starts to get time and it gets colder out, how do you stay healthy, Dr. Tracy?
Well, the thing is, the temperature changes really do affect our body. That whole shifts, you know, we have a tendency with the daylight savings time and everything, we don't get as much sleep. Sleep's really important to keep our immune system up. Studies have shown, it's really interesting, in healthy adults, they did these in college students, and they took their sleep cycle and they deprived them of sleep for two nights in a row, and they dropped 30% of their immune system, which is two nights.
So I'm screwed.
Yeah, you're basically screwed.
So how do you, if you're a college kid, if you're not getting a lot of sleep, you know, you had exams and then you had a lot of partying during the winter break, what do you do to get your immune system back on track?
Well, you do make sure your vitamin D levels are good. You know, that's really key. Vitamin D stimulates the white blood cells in our body. They're called natural killer cells, and it is huge. We actually use, and some people, you know, doctors do, and we do ourselves, we actually use high doses of vitamin D instead of antibiotics sometimes to actually get somebody to recover from a cold. You know,
so you boost up the vitamin D, though. What does that do to your body? Why are you feeling better?
Yeah, because it stimulates the white blood cells, and the white blood cells are the part of your immune system that kills infection. So it actually stimulates your immune system for you.
Okay, so I have vitamin C sitting in my cabinet. What about vitamin D? How do you get that?
Well, vitamin D, you can take it orally. It's a fat-soluble vitamin, so you can take it in pill form. You can take it in oil form. You can take it in injection. We actually will give high-dose injections to our patients when they're sick to kind of, again, stimulate their immune system. We will give it to our patients before they get on an airplane so they don't get sick on the airplane.
So it's more of a preemptive strike.
And post. If you are sick, it will actually stimulate your own immune system to kind of kill the infection for you.
Okay.
So we can use it both ways. And that's key. I mean, we measure our levels in every single one of our patients. And it's really funny because we haven't found anybody who's adequate yet. In the state of Florida, you would think because vitamin D is sunshine, in the state of Florida, we would have good vitamin D levels. I haven't found one patient yet who has an adequate vitamin D level.
What does that mean, adequate?
Well, optimal. I mean, some people can have, you know, vitamin D levels below 30 is considered, low vitamin D.
Okay.
Normal's 32, but that, you know, when we talk about the FDA and what they say normal is, that's enough to prevent the disease that occurs from the deficiency. So normal is enough to prevent rickets, which is bow-legging or softening of your bones.
So if you're low on vitamin D, what would you feel like?
Well, you can feel tired, fatigued. You can have increased back aches, muscle aches. You can actually have neuropathies, which is numbness or tingling in your arms or legs. You can have, you know, you can actually have, again, suppressed immune system, be more susceptible to diseases, cancers. Some studies have shown vitamin D, if the level is what we call optimal, above 60, then it reduces breast cancer and prostate cancer by up to 80%.
That's optimal, though.
That's optimal.
Okay, so we went over low, optimal. Now, what if it's too high?
Well, if it's over 100, you usually don't get toxicity from vitamin D until it hits the 200 range. So we keep our patients below the 100 range. And basically, the biggest thing that happens is it raises the calcium level in the body. And then you can get symptoms of the calcium, which is almost the same symptoms of low vitamin D.
I'm the weirdest kid ever. People are always saying, Aaron, take medicine. When I get sick, I'm like, oh, I'm screwed. I'm sick. There's nothing I can do. Wait it out. Maybe, you know, blow my nose, drink a lot of water, and hopefully in 5 days feel better. And everyone says I'm crazy that I can feel better if you already get sick. For the people that are like me that are stubborn and say, I'm just going to wait it out, how can you get over this in this winter season?
Well, if we have somebody who's acutely sick, we have a lot of tricks in our practice that we use. We use anything from the non-traditional to the traditional. Whether if somebody has a bacterial infection, they might need an antibiotic. Now, we use a lot of IV and injectable antibiotics because I don't like putting them in the stomach because it really does affect the digestive tract.
When you say in the stomach, you mean by?
By mouth.
By mouth, okay.
So
what's the difference? Why don't you like that?
Well, because the antibiotic doesn't just kill the bacterial infection you're trying to treat. It also kills the natural flora in your gut. And that is the bacteria in your digestive tract that helps you digest, and it also protects your immune system. So when you destroy that, you know, natural flora or the natural bugs down there, then what happens is you actually really do affect your immune system. 70% of your immune system is in that intestinal tract. That is your barrier. And so if you destroy that, you're more susceptible to more infections.
Dr. Tracy, if I'm feeling sick and I want to come see you and feel better, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to take a history. I'm going to evaluate you, find out what's going on, and then we're going to discuss your options. You know, if your levels are low, we'll give you an injection of vitamin D. We can give you, as I said, if it's bacterial, we can give you antibiotics. If it's viral, we can use antivirals to kind of get it short in course. We can give it vitamin C IV to stimulate your own immune system. Vitamin C is huge. It's an antiviral, but it also, again, stimulates your immune system for you.
You're talking with Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. So, typically this time of the season, what do you see?
We see a lot of colds, a lot of flus, a lot of sinuses. You know, people are stuck indoors, and in Florida, we're the mold petri dish of around. So a lot of their air conditioning systems and heating systems are getting turned on now. So all that stuff's being, you know, thrown into their air system.
That's a problem that people aren't really aware of.
It isn't. We have mold like you wouldn't believe in Florida. We just grow it like crazy. And so we have a lot of patients that have chronic sinus issues, and almost every single one of them is a mold issue.
And like, what's the different variations? How can you decipher, like, if someone comes in and they're sick and you decipher it's mold, how can you tell how intense the symptoms are and how much mold is in their system?
Well, we can measure the part of their immune system that gets activated from mold. So it's called a complement system. So we can measure that by blood. We can actually measure mold titers in their system. So we can actually see if their body's being exposed to mold and if they're toxic on mold.
And that's dangerous, correct?
Yeah, it can be very dangerous. Certain molds can be very toxic to the body. I mean, when you're talking about that, those people really, you know, don't feel well, and they don't know why they don't feel well.
Now, when it comes to this time of the season, is there something different that you would do in integrative medicine that maybe a primary care doctor wouldn't do?
I got my little secret weapon. I use a lot of silver hydrosol. Silver kills everything, whether it's bacterial, viral, fungal. So it allows us, we nebulize this into their nasal passages and everything, and it's amazing how much quicker they feel better. So we do both. We do what's traditional if it's necessary, so whether that be an antibiotic or a referral to an ENT and that kind of thing. And then we actually do a lot of integrative medicine, which would be IV nutrition, balance their body, get their immune system going, get them sleeping. Some things, especially if they're under a lot of stress, you know, we're very stressed out in the winter. You know, just simple things. Melatonin increases your immune system. Stress depresses it.
Let's talk about the IV therapy, because I know you guys do the IV therapy at Peaks of Health. What? How does that boost your immune system?
Well, IV vitamin C is huge in the immune system and the adrenal system. So when our bodies are stressed, we depress our immune system significantly because we depress our vitamin C levels in our body. And so we can actually, you can take vitamin C orally. You've heard of Emergen-C. That's 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I can pump your body full of 50,000 milligrams in an IV. So again, it's kind of, you know, really getting that system built back up as opposed to just putting that little itty bitty Band-Aid on it.
Why does our bodies rely on the sunshine, on the sunshine vitamin?
Well, I mean, again, you know, vitamin D actually is basically what they call the sunshine vitamin, but it's a hormone. And that was one of the things that we found out about 15 years ago. It's why you hear about vitamin D all over the place where you never heard about it before, is because it's actually a hormone. And hormones give signals to the body. They alter things. They change pathways. Vitamins only kind of move a pathway in the right direction. So because that, it's so involved in so many different aspects of our body. And the sun, it became sunshine because they said you needed sun to convert it. Well, that's true. You do need sun to convert vitamin D to its active form. The problem is it takes about 48 hours to do, and we wash ourselves usually every day now. So when you wash with soap, you wash it off. So that's why even in Florida with all the sun, we don't have adequate vitamin D levels. We have a tendency to bathe and wash them off.
Interesting, interesting stuff. Make sure you check out Dr. Tracy on peaksofhealth.com. Check out their Facebook page, facebook.com, Peaks of Health. Call them to 727-826-0838. We're going to be talking with Sahar Swadan, owner and CEO of Pharmacy Solutions. She's a compounding pharmacist. We'll be talking to her next. We'll be getting also back into staying healthy through the winter later on in the show. But Sahar Swadan on the Dr. Tracy Show next. Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, and we have a very special guest. We want to get right to it. Sahar Swadan, owner and CEO of Pharmacy Solutions, a compounding pharmacy in Ann Arbor, Michigan. How you doing, Sahar?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Obviously, we're a couple weeks into the new year, so hopefully everyone has had a great new year. But we're going to today try to educate people and educate the public on what compounding is. So let's start right there and get right into it. What is compounding?
So compounding, really, that's the art of preparing medicine from scratch, if you will. In the old days, really, everything was compounded. So all medications that were dispensed to patients were made from scratch. Obviously, with the advent of pharmaceutical companies, a lot of that stuff was available now on the shelf, obviously, for dispensing. However, the art of compounding has really made a huge resurgence in the past few years due to personalized and customized medicine. As you know, the Human Genome Project, it's really all about personalizing medicine, personalizing dosing. You know, if patients are allergic to something, that they cannot take a commercially available product because of, you know, the sometimes the inactive ingredients. The patient is allergic to, let's say, gluten. If they have celiac disease, we are able to compound and make it, you know, without gluten. If they're allergic to red dye, for example, we can make it without red dye. Obviously, for children and babies, if they cannot swallow tablets, that can be reformulated to be in different dosage forms, liquids.
Now, do they, let me stop you there. Do they already have to have that problem? Do they come to you with the problem? Do you diagnose that problem?
So physicians obviously always diagnose. Pharmacists do not diagnose. And then what happens is physicians come to us for solutions. So the physicians call us and say, hey, I have a patient that cannot take gluten. Can you make something without gluten? Or I have a baby and I need this type of medicine that's not available in the liquid. Are you able to do it? There's also obviously personalized hormone dosing that are not commercially available because the patient may not need what's commercially available because it's too high, you know, of a dose for them and they need much smaller doses. We're able to compound what the patient specifically needs. So what's nice about compounding is that you're able to truly personalize the dose, the delivery system to each individual person, and it's only done, obviously, if their needs are not being met by the commercially available products.
Now, to see a compounding pharmacist, where do they have to go? Could they go to see one locally, or how would they reach one?
So compounding pharmacies really are all over the country now, and probably there's a very good chance that you may have one locally. However, I speak all over the country and the world, as Dr. Tracy knows, and a lot of times we try to teach physicians what to look for a quality compounding pharmacy. Compounding pharmacy is very different than your regular pharmacies, and it's truly an art, and it's a skill. There's a lot of education that has to go into the staff. They have to be educated. It's special procedures, special equipment, a lot of specialized education, and it's really a subspecialty like you have in medicine when you want to go to a specialist. So it's very important to find a compounding pharmacy that knows what they're doing, does quality work, are very astute regarding the regulations of compounding to make sure that they're producing, obviously, quality and safe compounds for the patient.
Yeah, because you're one of the primary people who have obviously taught me about compounding. And, you know, some of the things that people don't know about is there's a lot of small compounding pharmacies that may have popped up. And some of the things that you've taught us is what we do to go and look at those pharmacies, what questions to ask the pharmacist as the physician of who we choose. And my patients know I'm unbelievably picky about who I will allow to compound my medications. For that reason.
Absolutely. You know, and it's critical. I always teach, as Dr. Tracy mentioned, I teach all over the country, and I'm always teaching doctors, really, that compounding pharmacy can make or break your practice, because if they're not getting quality and safe compounds, they're not going to have the desired clinical outcome, and therefore the doctor may look like they don't know what they're doing because the patients are not getting better, when that may not be truly the case. So it's very important. You know, we've been in business for 15 years, and we go for continuous education all the time. It is absolutely a skill. It's a trade. It's a specialty that all compounding pharmacy, and you can't just go to a weekend course and hang a shackle, if you will, over the weekend that says, oh, we compound. It's truly an art and critical. And as you know, compounding has been very highlighted in the media lately, not in very favorable terms because of the issues that happened with New England, you know, with the fungal meningitis outbreak. And some of the other issues with pain gels. And again, you know, it's very important to get to know your compounding pharmacy. I don't recommend to doctors to just choose any compounding pharmacy. Just because they compound does not mean that they know what they're doing. So it's very important for the doctors to go visit the facility. Do they have the right equipment? Do they have the right training? How do they train their staff? How do they make sure the compounds are well? How are the compounds tested to make sure, let's say, when I compound a progesterone 100 milligram capsule, we do weight tests on every single batch capsule, and also we send certain lots out for testing to make sure, yes, what I'm making does contain, let's say, for example, progesterone 100 milligrams.
Exactly.
Or for a pediatric patient, a labetalol 1 milligram per ml solution. So you have to have somebody that, with third-party verification, assures the doctor and the patient. And also, you know, I encourage patients. A lot of times I think we just...
Doctor, hold on one sec, because we're going to be coming up to break here real fast.
Okay.
Yeah, next time we're going to start talking about what we're going to look for in those compounds.
And we're going to keep you over to the next segment. And right now we're talking to Sahar Swadan, owner and CEO of Pharmacy Solutions, a compounding pharmacy in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We're learning all about compounding. So obviously you're talking with Dr. Tracy. And can you, before we go into the break and talk to you next segment, just real fast describe quickly what the process is for compounding.
So the compounding, obviously, it's a skill. So a lot of times what has to happen when we receive a prescription, there's a lot of clinical checks that undergo to make sure it's compatible with the patient and their health states. Then we have to research and see if a formulation is available. Has this been done before? What testing has been done? A formula is entered into the computer. We usually have a second pharmacist double check to make sure the formula was made correctly. Then it is actually made. And again, it's double and triple check. We have all kind of scanning technologies, and it's checked by pharmacist again to make sure the final product that was made was very well. But one compound could literally have up to 35 ingredients in it.
And we'll get more into how the process works in the next segment. And this is the Dr. Tracy Show. If you want to reach Dr. Tracy, you can call her at 727-826-0838. Also, visit their website. Also, check that out, peaksofhealth.com. Facebook, you can learn more on their Facebook, facebook.com/peaksofhealth. We'll have more with Sahar Swadan and Dr. Tracy next. Thanks for joining us on Dr. Tracy's Show. Hope you're all having a great weekend and a great afternoon. Right now, we're joined by Sahar Swadan, owner and CEO of Pharmacy Solutions, a compounding pharmacy in Ann Arbor, Michigan, educating you all on what compounding is. And let's start with this. Earlier in the segment, we were talking about compounding. And how can you decipher ingredients for compounds?
So it's very important that all compounding pharmacy obtain the raw materials and ingredients that are used in making a compound. And sometimes you could use up to 30, 40 ingredients in a compound from only FDA registered and inspected facilities.
Now, even there, Sahar, are those compounds not always created equal? I mean, because I know you go for the highest quality ingredients, you know, and
absolutely.
Some of these other compounders I noticed, you know, may, when I look for their certificate of authenticities, may use sometimes more substandard to get a cheaper price.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, just like in anything, there's really gradations and grades of raw material. You know, you have the, I call it the Maseratis of ingredients, and then you have, you know, the lower, you know, grade ingredients. So it's very important, first of all and foremost, that you obtain your ingredients from FDA-registered and inspected facilities. You have to make sure that you obtain the certificate of analysis with each ingredient that you obtain. And we absolutely, you know, we have rejected definitely some of them because they have not met our standards, where obviously these raw materials are being accepted by places possibly around the country.
How do you know if they meet the standards? How can you do that?
So there's definitely governing bodies that set the standards for the raw ingredients. So the United States Pharmacopeia is probably one of the largest ones that's used in compounding. So a lot of the powders that we look for it to be USP, United States Pharmacopeia certified, or EP, European Pharmacopeia. And these are the standards that are set by these governing organizations to tell you if it meets pharmaceutical grade quality ingredients, meaning that it's extremely pure and free of contaminants, which is exactly obviously what you want in your compound. So very important to review the certificate of analysis pharmacy should get. Only pharmaceutical grade ingredient and anything less is substandard and should be rejected and not received into their inventory, because again, you could subject potentially the patient to some contaminants that are in the compound if it's not, you know, 100% pure and pharmaceutical grade. So that's extremely important. Also in the industry, they use a plus or minus 10%. So the final product, so for example, if you're making a progesterone 100 milligram capsule, you have a plus or minus 10% deviation that's allowed by the industry. We use much tighter. So for example, your progesterone 100 milligram by standards can have 90 milligrams of progesterone or 110 milligrams of progesterone, and it would still fit that criteria. I personally believe that that's too high in the industry, and we always, anything above 5%, we reject and we remake it for actually tight and narrow therapeutic drugs. So things obviously like pediatric, like for seizures and other, you know, more life-threatening type indications, we actually use a 2% guideline, which is extremely strict, but we believe that that keeps us, you know, to a much higher standard and gives the patients better quality outcome.
Now, Sahar, when we're talking about manufactured drugs, when a drug goes from a grade, you know, in terms of their actual, you know, name brand versus generic, they allow that standard to change drastically, like progesterone and prometrium. Because when I hear, I can have up to a 30% deviation in generic progesterone when I order a manufactured brand.
Yeah. So technically, by the industry standards and pharmaceuticals, it should be 10%. Now, what happens, we see a lot of clinical deviation in, as you know, Tracy, and we see it clinically a lot, you know, between brand name and generics, for example, and we hear this a lot in patients. Now, by law, the active ingredient in a generic must be like the brand name. However, the inactives, which I believe can obviously affect drug delivery, dissolution, busting of tablets in people's, you know, gastrointestinal tract, things like that, can absolutely affect the efficacy. So I think sometimes when patients are switched from something that they've been standardized on, like a brand name, whatever, to a generic, you know, by law, it's the same active ingredient and they have the 10% variability. But I do think because sometimes it's a different delivery system and also some of the ingredients in there may not work exactly the same with that person's physiology, we tend to see a huge variability in effect, like you said, up to, you know, 30%.
If there is a big difference, can that be dangerous? I know obviously the effect won't work, but can it be dangerous or harmful?
Well, sure. I mean, it depends obviously what the medication is. Some are definitely more dangerous than others, and that's why, you know, with some of these what we call the narrow therapeutic drugs, you know, they don't have much much forgiveness, if you will. You know, if it's not working, the patient can seize or somebody's blood pressure can go up, you know, sometimes drastically, things like that. Some things, it's an annoyance, yes. Hormones may not work as well and obviously cause a lot of symptoms, you know, and can be very uncomfortable. But some things are obviously more dangerous than others. And that's why it's extremely important, especially with these more therapeutic drugs, you know, narrow therapeutic drugs, when we switch them from brand to generic or compounded, it's extremely important to make sure you monitor patients because they could have a different clinical response because it works better in their body. And that's why quality and consistent compounding is critical. And that's why you don't really get the same results. And, you know, Tracy knows this, I always tease, some of the hormones and compounding, because we get really huge doses that patients are transferred to us from doctors. And I said, I can't give you this progesterone dose or this armor thyroid because it's really going to be way too high for your patient and going to have a huge therapeutic effect. In some of these things, I actually recommend the patient that we cut the dose minimally by 25% because I know they're going to get an exaggerated response from our compounds because the techniques, the quality of ingredients is very variable out there.
So
and I know
typically,
because clinically we see this.
Typically, what type of patients are you seeing? Who's coming to your office?
You know, honestly, we see everybody. You know, we see the 1 year old, you know, the 1 day old babies, you know, to the 90 year old.
But why would they need? Why would a 1 year old baby, as long as they're healthy, why would they need to see a compounding pharmacist? Is there a certain reason?
Actually, pediatrics is one of the largest areas that we work with because unfortunately, not all babies are born healthy, and it's really sad. In some situations, they are actually born with, you know, congenital heart defects, seizure disorders, brain malformations, things like that. So actually, we do tons of compounding for sick heart, you know, patients, heart pediatric patients.
Yeah, also colicky patient, colicky babies.
Brain, you know, the cancer, you know, patients, adults and children, we do a lot of compounding for that. Topical pain gels, so a lot of times the pain medicines, we can apply it topically to the area that hurts, and that is such a better way to deliver drugs to the patient because it goes to the site of action, and a lot of times we can avoid at least most of the systemic side effects that we see from these other pain medicines, like the sedation, the drowsiness, the grogginess, the nausea, the constipation.
Yeah, also
so
Sahara.
You know, really, we see anybody from a one-day-old babies to, you know, 107-year-olds that we have.
Yeah, I know.
Now.
And Sahara, I mean, part of the importance of those topicals is the actual base we use because, I mean, that really affects the delivery system if you have the correct
Absolutely.
Base to get absorbed.
And that's why, you know, with compounding pharmacy, it's so important to work very closely with the patient and with the physician and the healthcare providers because depending on what the end clinical outcome that's needed, we can formulate drugs to stay topically on the skin because that's where you need it to work, or knowing what the doctor's goal is in the healthcare provider, we can drive these medicines into systemic circulation. So using some really bases like, you know, Lipoderm, for example, by PCCA, they have studies that show we can increase penetration of drugs and enhance, you know, Versa bases with some of the hormones, you know, enhancing delivery and being a clean base too, because you don't want to apply a lot of chemicals to your body when we're trying to make patients healthy and clean up the chemicals that they're exposed to.
Sahar, just to sum it all up, why should a patient decide to go out of their way and see a compounding pharmacist?
Well, absolutely. So a patient should go out of their way to see a compounding pharmacy if a commercially available drug that's available everywhere is not able to meet their clinical needs. And obviously that decision comes between, you know, from the patient and the doctor. And then once that decision is made that the patient needs a compounded medication, it's critical to shop for the right compounding pharmacy for the variety of reasons that we discussed, because they're not all created equal. And you want to make sure you know, that the patient and doctor works with a compounding pharmacy that knows what they're doing to make sure that the clinical outcome is achieved and a safe outcome is
absolutely
achieved.
And Sahara, I really want to thank you to be on the radio show. I mean, to have a really good compounding pharmacist that I can call and get that information from, and I mean, you're unbelievably helpful whenever we have a difficult patient where we have to figure something out on. So I really want to thank you for being on the show today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, guys. You have a great day.
Thank you, Zahar. Too. Appreciate it. That was Zahar Swadan, owner and CEO of Pharmacy Solutions, obviously a compounding pharmacist. And it was interesting to learn, you know, you don't know that when you get your dosage and stuff, you just assume you can trust. But to hear that you actually have to go out and really explore and examine and go deeper in depth to what the compounding parts and what makes up the drugs that you're taking.
Absolutely. You know, if I don't see the outcomes I'm looking at, I actually ask my pharmacist to send out the drug to test it to make sure it's actually what we thought it was. So we start looking for why it's not working. Is it the laboratory that's not giving me the right answer? Or is it the medication that's not giving me the right efficacy?
And I think it's important because someone like myself, I'll just go online, I'll look it up, I'll say, oh, it looks like it works. This is what the pill says. It's supposed to work. My doctor gave it to me. I'm good to go. But obviously, you have to go deeper in depth there. So some great stuff there from Zahar Swadan. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. If you want to learn more, visit peaksofhealth.com. Please call as well, 727-826-0838. Don't be afraid to call. They'll give you any information you want to know, 727-826-0838. Plenty more ahead. Don't go anywhere. More with Dr. Tracy and myself, the Dr. Tracy Show, next. Dr. Tracy Show. How hope you're all having a great weekend. Aaron Jacobson here with Dr. Tracy. If you want to reach Dr. Tracy, make sure and give her a call at 727-826-0838. Peaksofhealth.com is their website. Facebook page, plenty of good stuff on the Facebook page, facebook.com/peaksofhealth. Just had a great conversation with Zahar Swadan, owner and CEO of Pharmacy Solutions. And Dr. Tracy, I just want, we talked to, with Zahar. I want to find out from you, why is compounding pharmacy so important?
Compounding is really important for our patients simply because I can customize the medicine to them. You know, say if they need a thyroid medication that's not manufactured because they need a different dosing. If progesterone, you know, we use only bioidentical hormones, and progesterone comes in 100 and 200.
What's progesterone? Let's go over that again.
Progesterone is a hormone for females that we use, and I call it female Valium. Very, very important to balance hormones because it calms them down and helps them sleep. And, you know, And when you're talking about bioidentical versions of it, by manufacturing, it only comes in two doses. Well, my patient may need 25 milligrams. They may need 125 milligrams.
Every patient's different.
Every patient's different in what dose they need, you know, so I can have it compounded. The other thing is cost-wise. I send them, you know, with the prescription to their pharmacy with their insurance, and it's double the price of what I can get it for compounded. So it's actually cheaper in many cases to have it compounded than to have it manufactured.
Why is that?
Because you think about the manufacturing, they have to go through so many different, you know, segments. I mean, you talk about the manufacturer has to make their money, the pharmacy has to make their money, the insurance is paying, and they're, you know.
There's a bunch of middlemen, basically.
There's a ton of middlemen. When you talk about compounding, it's the compounder and you, you know, so there's no middleman in between there, you know. So a lot of times we can get medications that people may not be able to afford with their insurance, you know, and they can get them actually cheaper compounded.
Now, to see a compounding pharmacist, you actually have to be...
You actually have to have a prescription from a physician.
Okay.
I mean, you can't go to a compounding pharmacist. They cannot prescribe for you. So your doctor has to choose what compounder they're going to use, and that becomes really important. I mean, I physically visit, you know, where my compounder is. I look and see what, you know, their certificates are, where they're getting their product from, making sure they're using the right equipment, making sure they're using sterile rooms, making sure they have, you know, I mean, there's so many different things that we look at before we choose a compounder that meets our standards.
So you can't be both?
No. Well, I mean, I guess there are some physicians that are compounders, but there is so much regulation on it. I wouldn't have enough time to actually be my own compounding. And I'm not a pharmacist by any means, you know, but they are. And then if you have a really good compounding pharmacist in that relationship, I can call them up and say, hey, look, this is what I've got with my patient. This is what I need. How would be the best way to get here?
Okay.
You know, so they really are very helpful if you have a good relationship with them to help you decide, you know, because there's sometimes I have, you know, a weird condition and I'll be like, you know, well, how would I, you know, what could I use to fix this? What are my options? And they'll come up with a formulation for you that unbelievably works for these patients. And it's
how
just amazing.
Often do you find that you'll be compounding with certain patients?
Most of my patients are actually fairly compounded. Almost all my hormones are compounded. I like to customize my hormones. I do use a few pharmaceuticals if they meet those dosings, you know, but almost all my thyroid is compounded one way or another. You know, then there's some drugs that just aren't on the market very, you know, they took them off the market for whatever reason because they weren't, you know, profitable or something, but they were really good drugs. We can have them remade compounded.
This kind of all goes back and ties in, and, you know, the past couple episodes episodes we've talked with you, you know, you really like to get to know your patient and you want to make sure that they are getting the best treatment. So obviously when it comes to compounding, you want to make sure that their dosage is properly fit to your patients.
Well, exactly. You know, and you want to be able to say, if you don't think something's working, I can go to any of my pharmacists. We have an agreement. I can have them send that medication out and have it tested to verify that it is exactly what it's supposed to be. You know, and you have to make sure as a physician, you have to be diligent to make sure you're picking the compounder who's going to do the job for you.
Do you ever find a case where you reach out, you go to the compounding pharmacist, and they get it wrong?
We actually did have a case where my thyroid wasn't measuring where I thought it was going to be. And again, this is, you know, where the physician has to know exactly what's going on and what they're doing. But I noticed a trend, and I actually asked them to send their thyroid out for testing. And sure enough, the manufacturer sent in, and the dose was, you know, it was 10% off. It was supposed to be less than 5. And that deviation was affecting my patients. They fired that.
Wow.
You know, they got rid of them and got a new immediately, you know, because they didn't know either. They had a certificate that said it was this. It tested out to be something else. And so they actually fired that source.
When it comes down to it, they're very accurate. And if they're not, they're gone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good to know. It's good to know that you're in good hands when you go see a compounding pharmacist. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. If you want to visit their Facebook page, facebook.com/peaksofhealth, peaksofhealth.com. And earlier in the show, we were talking, Dr. Tracy, about staying healthy through the winter. Obviously, we had a great conversation about compounding pharmacy. But staying healthy through the winter, we were talking about vitamin D. What else can you do? What other treatments are there to stay healthy through the winter?
Yeah, there's so many things. If somebody has, you know, a suppressed immune system, or for whatever reason, they, you know, they have a bad gut and their immune system's not working, their adrenals aren't working, we can do things to help boost their immune system until we can fix the problem. I mean, we can use cordyceps and reishi, and these are all herbals, you know, that actually stimulate the immune function, or they support the immune system, or in some way they support the problem, the adrenals. Probiotics. I mean, just taking a simple probiotic can actually boost your immune system because it fixes those bugs in your gut that actually help support your immune system.
And that's what they are. They really are. They're bugs in the gut. You can feel it.
We have lots of them down there.
What's the herbal? What's the difference?
Well, herbals are plant-based, you know. So, you know, when we're talking about they naturally do things. Like most of our drugs that we think about are all taken out of herbs. You know, digitoxin, metformin, these are all prescription drugs. They were originated from herbs. And so the herbs naturally change things where drugs stop a process. They usually block an enzyme. So, you know, when you talk about natural, they have a tendency to work with your body and support it as opposed to just override it.
And you can get these in pill form, correct?
You can get them in pill form, powder form, liquid form. You know, that's the beauty of a lot of things. We can have them made whatever way we want. If somebody can't swallow a pill, we can have it made in powder. Compound is the same way. We can have it made in lollipops.
Hey,
so
it's 2016 now, baby. It's 2016. You can do anything. But do you find that most people do take it in pill form?
Most people do take it in capsule form.
Okay, so when they're taking it in capsule, it's obviously important to know that how much they're supposed to be taking. How much should they be taking, let's say, vitamin D?
Well, vitamin D, without testing, we don't go above 4,000 units, international units a day. So we always test our patients. Most of our patients need between 5 and 10,000 a day.
Is that in per capsule? I mean,
we have them in 5,000, 10,000, and then we inject them in 50 and 100,000. So it kind of, again, depends on the patient's level. So we actually follow our levels of measure. But if you're not getting your doctor to measure it, no more than 4,000 a day.
There's no reason why you should feel bad if it gets cold out. If it gets cold out here in Florida, even if it doesn't, there's plenty of allergies going around. Plenty of people getting sick. If it's going around the office, make sure to reach out to Dr. Tracy, 727-826-0838. Once again, 727-826-0838. Visit their Facebook page, facebook.com/peaksofhealth. Also, they have a great website, peaksofhealth.com. That's peaksofhealth.com. Dr. Tracy, great show, and hope you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Until next time on the Dr. Tracy Show.